Welcome to the Real Truth Matters podcast. I'm Dan Harder, your host. The RTM podcast is all about showing you how to live in biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect. And now, here's Real Truth Matters founder and director, Michael Durham.
I'm so glad you tuned in today. We need to pick up where we left off in the last episode and go deeper in how to experience the truth of Scripture and to do that routinely. In our last episode, we looked at 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 28. John says there is an abiding message, which is Christ, who is the gospel. And this message indwells and abides with you. Jesus, by the mystery of spiritual indwelling, does live in every Christian. How this occurs and takes place? Well, no one knows. Truly, it is mystical in a biblical sense. There is a spiritual union between you, the believer, and the Lord Jesus. However, we're not without some insight, for Christ gives us a clue when he said in John 15, verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Jesus equates himself with his words. If you have the Word of God implanted within you, then you have Christ within. God has invested himself in his Word. And this may be, for the new convert, just what little he knows about the gospel, but that gospel has had life, transforming life, in him or her. Now, I'm not suggesting that the more Scripture you memorize, the more of Jesus you'll have. Although that isn't the point, it's not far from the point. The more truth of God's Word you know and believe, the more you understand your Savior and his great heart for you. Secondly, the Apostle John says in 1 John 2:27 that we have an abiding anointing, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. The anointing John speaks of is the Holy Spirit himself. He is at work taking the Word of God, revealing it, illuminating it to you, or to put it simply, making the reality of God real to you. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and teaches you by spiritual illumination, meaning he first grants understanding of the Word. The text cannot bring the reality of God unless you first understand the meaning of the text. The text must be more than just what you think it means. The Spirit shines understanding on the Word and causes the mind to perceive it. One of the greatest promises regarding this process is Psalm 32, verse 8. "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." The word "instruct" should be translated "cause you to understand." That is the literal Hebrew. The Lord has promised to not only teach us the truth, but also to understand the truth. Many times, we can learn concepts but not really understand them. For example, personally, I understand that electricity has positive and negative components, but I don't understand how it works. I know that a light year is how far light can travel in a year, traveling at 186,000 miles, not per feet, but per second. And when you add all those seconds in a year, you'll discover light travels about 6 trillion miles yearly. And so when the astronomers say the universe is nearly 100 billion light years or more in diameter, I can understand the math, but I can't comprehend the reality of it all. It's just too big for me. It overwhelms my mind to conceive of those dimensions. And the same is true with Scripture. We can know what a text says, we can memorize it and thus recite it, we can even have some mental concept of the verse or verses. but to comprehend and understand its ramifications and implications, to conceive of its majesty and magnitude, well, I just cannot do so. I need someone who can overwhelm my ignorance and incapability. I need someone who can overcome my smallness and make me know that which I may be able to learn. I know that sounds like a contradiction, but it isn't. It's a daily reality. I can learn facts, but not experientially know them. I cannot know the true God of the Bible unless the God of the Bible reveals himself to me through the Holy Spirit's ministry of taking the Word of God and illuminating my spirit. The Spirit is that amazing faculty that can spiritually know even when the mind has no clue. The intellect can learn facts, but only the Holy Spirit can convey the power of those facts so that they impact me, they inform my intellect. And when that happens, the Word exerts an animation and power in my life. It's the life of Christ in me working, and this is all quite experiential. You experience this. It is an experience, and you are moved by it. You know something of the divine has transpired, although you do not know how he did it. But then, you need not know how. All that matters is the reality of an encounter with God present in your soul. It's important to remember that the Holy Spirit mediates the presence of Christ. John says in verse 27, the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. This is exactly what our Lord promised about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth has come, he would guide us into all truth. He would not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Again, John says that the Holy Spirit mediates the presence of Christ when he says at the very end of verse 27 of the second chapter of 1 John, and just as it, that Holy Spirit, that anointing has taught you, you will abide in him. There it is. The Word by the Spirit illuminated to me is the abiding presence of Christ. Now let's take a few moments and look at the relationship between truth and the Holy Spirit. We see these two often connected, especially in the writings of the Apostle John. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, God is Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Again, 1 John chapter 2, we read, beginning with verse 3, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God, is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. There's a lot there. But what does John mean when he says, we know him if we keep his commandments? I mean, no one perfectly obeys, and there are people we would classify as legalists who are not in the kingdom of God, and they put much effort into keeping the commandments. So what does the text mean? We know him if we keep his commandments. At the least, we can say that this kind of knowing Christ, this kind of knowledge, is more than just factual information. For example, Judas knew Jesus, but it didn't produce obedience. During the ministry of Christ, many met and were affected by him. Either he healed them, fed them, taught them, but no matter how he confronted them, they could say they knew him and were impacted by him. Yet, for the majority of them, there was no lasting effect, no enduring obedience, and no continual faith. Therefore, John states that there exists a different kind of knowledge of Christ that is so powerful that it produces obedience. This kind of knowledge is based upon supernatural revelation, just like Peter. He could not have made his great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," without the Spirit of God revealing that to him. And neither can we read the Scripture and experience the presence and power of Christ without the aid of the same Holy Spirit. As the Apostle John continues to unpack how we maintain fellowship with the God of the Bible, he gives more vital information. He explicitly demonstrates that the Spirit gives us firsthand knowledge of God's love for us. He who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Now here's a question for you. Is John speaking of God's love for the believer, or the Christian's love for God when he writes, "Truly the love of God is perfected in him"? In verse 4, John says that anyone claiming to be a Christian but doesn't obey God is a liar. He's a liar because there's no truth in him. Thus, when we come to verse 5, we would expect John to say the very opposite about the Christian. True parallelism would say, "But whoever obeys God is being truthful, for the truth is in him." That would be a perfect mirror or contrast. Being truthful is the opposite of being a liar. But John doesn't say that. Instead, John says, "Truly the love of God is perfected in him." John doesn't want you to give credit to the true believer as if something about him personally. His own character is the difference. Since he's an honest person, he therefore obeys God. No, that would be a wrong conclusion. And so, John rightly shows us the reason for the difference between a true and false convert. And here it is. The true Christian is the subject of a divine work. It is God's love in us that produces our love for him. It's the experience of God's love that produces obedience in us. God's love poured into your heart is what causes you to reflexively love God in return. The Apostle John will say so when he gets to the fourth chapter of his first epistle. We love him because he first loved us. But God not only loved us, giving us his love through the gift of the Holy Spirit, but John says God's love has been perfected in us. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And this can only mean something that has happened since we first experienced the love of God. John is implicitly arguing for an ongoing experience of God's love. Thank God he loved us, past tense, and surely the experience of being loved by God in your past should be enough to fuel your heart from that day until now. But unfortunately, we're not so constituted. Whether it be our natural corruption, or perhaps it's the very nature of the soul and the nature of love. Love cannot flourish on a memory only. It's something that must be cultivated, experienced further, or as John put it, perfected in us. I think it's something of both of these things, the nature of our corruption and the nature of love. Our natural corruption, aided by devilish suggestion, will soon doubt the love of God for us. We end up believing that God's love is much like our own and that it's maintained by merit. If you sin, you may start to struggle with God loving you. The greater the magnitude of the sin, the more you're liable to doubt God's love for you. Another way our natural corruption plays a factor is by apathy. With time, we may get bored, even with those whom we love the most. We take them for granted, and we lose first love. In that state, a wife may no longer assume her husband loves her without some reinforcement coming from him. We need love to be expressed, and expressed frequently, both in deed and word. And this leads to the very nature of love. Love cannot remain static. It either grows or lessens. Love cannot remain muted. It's got to express itself to be complete. The heart has a language that's only communicated by the giving of itself to another, and without this giving, love will languish and will not long survive. The same is true with receiving the communications of love. We need to experience the love of our spouse and dearest friends. We desire the language of love spoken in words or demonstrated in actions. Therefore, we need constant expressions of God's love for us. Unbroken experience of His great love for you provides you a strong spirit and a devoted heart. Paul prays for the Thessalonians, "Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God." Jude pleads for believers to keep yourselves in the love of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make you to know the love of God in a real way. He comes to us as the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, "Abba, Father." But after being made a child of God, He doesn't stop communicating the love of God to us. He constantly desires to love you, and you continually need to be loved by Him. This is why I'm asserting this principle. You must keep your experience of truth, mainly the truth of God's love, up to date. The Spirit's primary way is by the Holy Scriptures. If you want to hear God share His eternal love for you, then apply your ear and heart to the Bible. Bend near it and listen and hear of His boundless love. Read your Bible to hear God speak personally to you. Read it, of course, to learn its rich truth. But do not stop there. Pray the Spirit to illuminate the truth to the core of who you are. Ask for love to be poured out into your heart. This is how we maintain our fellowship with our gracious Lord Jesus, our loving Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. Please check out our website, realtruthmatters.com, for all our resources. It's there for your taking free of charge. Also, check out Real Truth Matters on your favorite social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Please repost the material. Share the ministry with others. Go to the podcast platform you listen to this podcast on and give us a rating. This will help more people to see the podcast and choose to listen. This podcast is all about biblical spirituality, helping you to see how truth intersects with life and is the basis of experiencing the fellowship of God. On behalf of all of us here at Real Truth Matters, thank you for listening today. And may the Lord bless you with His love in a real and tangible way.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Real Truth Matters podcast. I hope you can see that Christianity is profoundly experiential, but always based on the objective truth of Scripture. If you have questions or comments, please send them to our email address, web@realtruthmatters.com. That's web@realtruthmatters.com. Real Truth Matters podcast, dedicated to biblical spirituality, demonstrating where the Bible and real life intersect.